This is the national public broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
So with that said, I'd like to bring forward our leader, Imam W. Dean Muhammad.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. Thank you. Praise be to Allah. We thank you. Yes. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God. In our Quranic language, His name is Allah. Praise be to Allah, the Lord, the sustainer of all the worlds. We witness that Muhammad, the last prophet, to bring scripture to all mankind, the prophet who spoke the language of his people, Arabic language, and the prophet that God says has a community after the order of Abraham, after the order of Prophet Abraham, our second father, Abraham. The person or personality that brings Christians and Muslims and Jews together, if we will accept it, in a relationship as religious communities that have a real relationship or real kinship to one another. So we thank Allah for him, and we greet you with peace. Assalamu alaikum. I want first, before I begin my address, I want to present our Christian friends, our brothers and sisters in humanity and in faith, representatives of the folklore movement, the movement founded by and led by, till this time, right now, a gracious, beautiful, blessed lady, Kiera Lubick. It's no small thing. We need to think about things that happen. It's no small thing that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's son was invited to the Vatican and spoke before better than 100,000, maybe close to 200,000 witnesses. And greeted the Pope, Pope John Paul II, and embraced him. Not only greeted him, I gave him a hug, an affectionate hug. He is a leader that gave his whole life and did a great, great work of bringing not only the masses of people, but the leaders, more importantly, the leaders of those masses, to at least look at themselves and look at the conditions of their publics, of their people. And he inspired many leaders, governments, to be better by their suffering masses. We thank God for him. Muslims, if you understand it, we are very much like Christians and Jews. We are supposed to be a moral people, moral people. And our community is supposed to be an ethical community. We're supposed to stand for justice as witnesses for God. And that's what Pope John Paul II did. He stood for justice as a witness for God. We are to embrace all righteousness, for God says, Allah says in our holy book, He wastes not the good works of anyone, whether it be male or female. So God is saying to us, He acknowledges the good works of all people, everybody, whether male or female. Should not we acknowledge the good words, all the good works also? And if we want justice for all people and righteousness for all people, aren't those people who put themselves on the line and risk their lives and labor hard, aren't they our brothers and sisters, our allies in the struggle? Muslims have a lot to learn. I used to think it was just the followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who had a lot to learn, because we were given a kind of nationalist idea and a nationalist movement that didn't require us to study the Quran and to teach the Quran. That was not required of us under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who led us from 1934 till he passed in 1975, February of 1975. So that was not required of us. So naturally, as I began to myself study the Quran and meet more Muslim representatives, mostly religious persons devoted to religion, dawah, from different parts of the world, from Pakistan mostly, but also from Saudi Arabia and Egypt and other places. When I began to meet them and become acquainted with them and even pray with them on the campus of the University of Illinois, IIT, pardon me, Illinois Tech, the IIT, Illinois University of Technology. When I began to meet with them and pray with them, I got acquainted with them, and I learned much about their life directly from them, about what's happening in the Islamic world, learned it directly from them. And I had been studying for a long time the teachings of my father, but also the Quran that he encouraged me. He didn't encourage all of his followers, but he certainly encouraged my youngest brother Akbar and me to study the Arabic language so we would be able to read the Quran in Arabic. So all of that brought me to think that, oh, we are so far behind. We don't know what Islam really is. We only have the love in our hearts for Islam and for the Muslims of the world. He put that in our hearts. A lot of us lost it. I don't know why. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that when we become a Muslim, we become members of every Muslim nation on this planet Earth, that Muslims are one community or one nation, Ummatul Wahida, Ummatul Wahida. He told us that. And he also told us of Prophet Muhammad, as we know, but he kind of hid Prophet Muhammad from us. He didn't give us the full picture of our Prophet. He kind of, as he did not encourage us to read the Quran, he also didn't encourage us to see Muhammad in his true and complete beautiful life, his tradition. But today, I'm convinced, when we look at the state of Muslims globally, the state of Muslims in Africa, the state of Muslims everywhere, even here in America, when we look at the state of Muslims everywhere, we are not so happy when we're looking at that picture. The picture of Muslims everywhere is not making us so happy. I'm not talking about terrorists. Those people were forced by a desperate situation, desperate circumstances in their life, to go out of their minds almost and do the acts that they do. I'm talking about those that the doctor would say are normal and healthy and not extreme, not extremists. Those are the ones I'm talking about. Majority of those are not showing the beautiful picture of the followers of Muhammad that we know of in the life and history of our Prophet. No, indeed. We are taken by the world. We like to go our own ways, separate ways, which is okay. Believe me, I want no one to become a Negro if you are not one, or a black man. I said Negro intentionally. I want no one to become a black man if you're not one. And I want no black man to become a white man if you're not one. I want no Indian to change who he is. I want no people to change who they are. We want to just be one in the core of the human life, inside. And if we are one there, then we can be helpers of one another. We can stay in our respective places. We can keep our geographies. We can keep our neighborhood boundaries, ethnic boundaries. We can keep all of this, and we will be encouraged to embrace each other's good works. And if one of us is doing a good work in business, and we have a big brother, he's stronger than we are, he should want to come to the aid of his small brother, even if he has nothing to offer his brother as for a relationship with his brother in business, but good advice. If that's all he had, he should do that. And I know those that we have called enemies who see us struggling, and they will come and give us good advice. And sometimes they will even work with us for about 2 hours or so. We need to know our Prophet. I'm speaking to all Muslims, not to black. I'm speaking to all Muslims. We need to know our Prophet. In our holy book, Allah says, God says to us, that he is the Ummi Prophet mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil. That is, he is the unlettered prophet mentioned in both the Jews' scripture and the scriptures of the Christians. That's exactly what God says to us in the Quran. How many of you Muslims want to know how he's mentioned in the book of the Jews and the Christians? Now, the Jews and the Christians might not agree with that, but that's what we have to accept. We can't disagree with it if we are Muslims. What Allah says in our holy book, we have to accept it. So Allah says to us that he is the Ummi, unlettered prophet mentioned in the scriptures of the Jews and the Christians. How is he mentioned? Allah tells us that. He doesn't leave it for us to guess or to go run and try to find a Bible and look it up. But you should do that too. Find you a Bible and look it up. It's in the Bible. I have done it. I found it. It's in the Bible. That is what he was addressing. What God had him address is in the Bible. I found it. And it says of him that he would be one coming to lift the heavy burdens off of the backs of the oppressed. Off of the backs of the oppressed. And he'll be the one coming to break all the bonds of slavery or servitude to any except God. He come to free slaves so that they would have their life that God wants for them, and the life of their own choice. Like those good Christians who were persecuted in Europe, came and founded this country here, this part of the world, this new world. They founded it because they were persecuted in their own lands. They were denied the freedom to practice religion of their choices in their own lands. And they were happy to know that there was a new, undiscovered part of the earth for them, and they came here to establish their religious life. And they did. And they did. And we thank God for that, for them. Yes, the point is this, that Muhammad the Prophet didn't come with a message that was completely new and had no connection with Judaism, Christianity, or with the scriptures of the Jews that the Jews identify with and the scriptures that the Christians identify with. No, he did not come to bring something unconnected, completely separated from that. No. He came to actually present what God revealed to him as a continuation of that divine education. I say education, of that divine education. He came as a continuation of that. And he didn't want us to be separate from good Christians. He said that in time, it didn't happen in his time maybe, but he said, but in time, they, meaning people of the world, mainly people of the book, they will see Christ Jesus and me together. Together, what do you mean by together? Not disagreeing, but agreeing in our life and in our mission. That's what he said. Now, we don't have to accept that, but that's what he said. Now, if you claim to be a Muslim and you don't accept that, then I won't accept you as a Muslim. And that's for sure. If you don't accept what Allah revealed to Muhammad the Prophet, and you don't accept what he left us, I don't accept you as a Muslim. Why? Because Allah says, what he gives you, accept it. He's speaking of Muhammad the Prophet. And he says, Ati'ullah wa Rasulah, and obey God and his messenger. Obey God and his messenger. How are you going to feel bad or feel endangered to follow the messenger of God when he's the one that connected you with God? He's the one that brought you to know what God wants from yourself in the religion. So how can you not obey him? It would be ridiculous. These great religions don't invite us to something stupid. These religions are supported by great logic, perfect logic, divine logic. So if God says that of Muhammad, that he is one coming in fulfillment of what was in the books before him, and that he is coming to take the heavy loads off the backs of the people that weigh them down. That means keep you from going up. That's exactly what it means. It means keep you from going up, hold you back from your potential, hold you back from the progress that you were created for, from realizing the abilities that you have as a human being. Yes, oppressors, societies that oppress, cultures that oppress, not just people, not just flesh and blood people. And sometimes the worst oppressor is your own ignorance and your own weakness to the temptations that are in the world. Sometimes that is your worst oppressor. Hence the prophet Ibrahim, we say in Quran, thank you. The prophet Ibrahim said, beginning his great mission, he first said, Zalamtu nafsi, to his God, Zalamtu nafsi, I have oppressed my own soul. That's what he said. Wa'ataratu bi dhanbi, forgive me my faults. And he went on to pray, and some of you know this prayer by heart. Yes. So even Abraham, our second father, he had to begin his life that Allah created him for, he had to begin it by first acknowledging the wrong that he had been doing to his own soul. Neglecting it. Accepting that was not good for it, because the world had given that to him. So he woke up to what the world was giving him that was not suitable for his own soul and nature and future. He woke up to it, and then he confessed to God. We in the black people of America, look at ourselves and say the same thing. Oh Lord, oh God, we black folks have wronged our own souls. We have oppressed our own selves. This language, referring to Muhammad the Prophet, our Prophet, says to us that he was a liberator. A liberator. And what impressed me most as a child and stayed with me till now from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, most of you didn't know him when he was beginning his ministry. In the first 10 or 20 years of his ministry, most of you don't know him. But there are those still around, they're in this audience today, who did see him then, and they do recall what he said then. And he would hardly ever give a lecture or speech without saying, Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. You can get all the rituals and prayer beads and toothbrushes or tooth cleaning sticks and sandals and prayer rugs. You can get all of them, stack them up till they block the traffic. But if you don't register freedom, justice, and equality, you are a dead Negro. And again, I use the word Negro intentionally. It takes you back to a time when you were conscious. You got black and went and got drunk on that black wine. You ain't conscious no more. Now, look at the wisdom here, if you accept my interpretation. It says the load, the heavy load that weighed down their backs. Now, the people that first heard that in their ears, they were not advanced like we are industrially. They didn't have Cadillac cars and Mercedes and all that, and motorcycles and cycles or sickles, or whatever you want to call that. And they didn't have all that, you know. They had animals. They're riding around on donkeys. If they were fortunate to have that much money, they had a donkey, a horse, or something like that. Some of them, they had a lot of money. They had camels, riding around on big camels. Now, when an animal is carrying a load on his back, he hardly ever sees what's weighing him down, because his eyes are in the front. Now, if you can imagine a human being, and many of them still now, they walk from the market or walk from the farm carrying a big load on their back to take in the house to cook or whatever. And they don't see what's on their back. You don't have eyes in the back of your head. You don't see what's weighing you down. But you know because you picked it up, right? Now, I think black people picked up a load and they forgot. It's still on their backs, but they don't see it. They can't see that load that's weighing down their backs. But also this, too, this is addressing a subtlety. This is addressing a psychology. A psychology for holding and keeping dumb people in obedience to something that's oppressing their lives. For this word back means apparent. Yes, if we speak of things that have made themselves present and we can see them, we use the word that comes from the word back. Okay? But that is back is also behind you too. The back of a person is behind us, not in our eyes. It's speaking of the psychology that oppressors use. They put in your mind ideas that you think are good for you, and they make you feel good, they make you happy, but they suppress your creativity as a human person. They retard your intelligence as a human person. They make you less able to function in a competitive world. And both those ideas. So those ideas are working in your psyche, but they're not in your conscience. The damage, the harm to you in those ideas is working in your psyche, but they're not seen by your eyes or by your mind, not in your conscience. So we are oppressed by ideas that were designed to keep us down and out of the greedy one's way, out of their hair, they say, out of their way. So the Quran, if you will accept my understanding that God has blessed me with, the Quran is not only addressing seen obstructions to justice and to our good life, no, it is also addressing the psychology of the oppressors who use psychology to dominate us and at the same time make us feel that they have favored us with what they gave to work on our life and retard our life. I ask now the question, this question, was our prophet a Muslim before he got in touch with God and got the first words of revelation and became a religious person like Jews and Christians, that is, believing in God, having similar beliefs, similar articles of faith, and having similar concept of God, picture of God? Was he a Muslim before he got that? Was he a Muslim before he met God up in the mountain that came to be called the Mountain of Enlightenment or the Mountain of the Light, Jabr al-Nur? Was he a Muslim in his lifetime before that? How many say yes? Muslims only. Raise your hand. How many say yes, he was a Muslim? Thank you. You who raise your hand saying yes, he was a Muslim, you're correct. Because he said himself, everyone is born Muslim until circumstances overpower you and make you something else. So is Muslim, if we ask any student of Quran or student of a learned teacher in Islam, if we ask you, was Moses a Muslim, what is your answer? If we ask you, was Jesus a Muslim, what is your answer? So Muslim is not necessarily identifying our religion, is it? No. It's identifying something we have common with all good people. And that's why Allah in the Quran, he doesn't say, oh, you Muslims. Yeah, you hell Muslimun. It's hard to find God speaking to us that way. God says to us, yeah, you hell mu'minun. Not Muslimun, mu'minun. Oh, you believers. Believers, huh? Because a Muslim may be a Muslim only in his original substance that God created when he created man. But he might not be a Muslim in his mind. So God does not bless you, oh, you Muslims. No, I created you Muslims. I created you with a natural disposition in your life to want peace, and that peace will eventually be found with God. And once you find that peace with God, you will then find it with your fellow man. In time. All in time, of course. So then God says to us also, that the religion, Islam, Deen al-Fitra tu leti fatra nasa alayha. I'm only using Arabic because I know some of you speak Arabic. And you think Arabic is the sign that I know something. If I don't speak Arabic, you think I don't know anything. What a pity. That's why I speak it, but I translate everything. I'm not like a lot of these show-off imams. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, yani, alhamdulillah, inshallah, salamu alaikum, ya akhi. And that's almost his full vocabulary. In Arabic, of course. So, deen al-fitratu allati fatara an-nasa alayha. Allah says in our holy book, highly glorified is he says this religion that he gave us through Muhammad, he said it is religion of the original nature.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6750. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-798-6750. 862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.